Everybody Can is a conversation about the people and organizations that strengthen our community by volunteering, donating, serving on boards, or sometimes just showing up in micro moments of kindness. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, tenaciously curious and committed to the notion that connecting and serving others provides a space for one to have a sense of purpose and belonging. One of the more unique spaces where one can connect with others in service is located at the edge of Admiralty Inlet at the Point Wilson Lighthouse, which has been serving the navigational needs of our waterways since 1879. Located at Fort Warden State Park, the Point Wilson Lighthouse was located due to the heavy riptide shoals and persistent fogs that influenced our community. It is one of the most important navigational aids in Washington, connecting Puget Sound and the Strait of Juan de Fuca, and is on the National Register of Historic Places. Today, we are on location at the lighthouse speaking with Dick Richardson and Dave Anabuski of the U.S. Lighthouse Society, working on the Point Wilson Station Preservation Project. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, we're happy that you could come.
And I have not had the occasion to meet you, Dick. What is your role with the U.S. Lighthouse Society?
Well, I'm the volunteer coordinator here at the Lighthouse Society. My job is just to recruit volunteers and get people to sign up so we can conduct tours and so we can do some restoration work at the lighthouse.
What is your role with the U.S. Lighthouse Society?
Oh, I'm just one of the volunteers out here at the lighthouse, and sometimes I'm a docent and do tours and help Dick out and things.
For our listeners, we know this lighthouse on the point here at the property of Fort Warden. Would you help kind of give us an overview of the history of this lighthouse?
Well, this lighthouse was constructed originally in 1879, and this was the keeper's house, which is two houses for the keeper and assistant keeper who operated the lighthouse. And the light originally was on top of the house.
Of this very dwelling
that
we're sitting in.
Mm-hmm. Then it was decided in 1913 they wanted to move the light a little bit closer to the water, so they built the current lighthouse in 1913, and that's where the light is now.
But the lighthouse is on, 51 feet above the mean low water?
Yeah, 51 feet is considered the focal plane of the light.
Right.
Where the light shines out, but the lighthouse itself is actually a few feet taller because there's the roof above it.
Inside the building, it's all mechanical.
There's a big room on the bottom floor. And it was the mechanical room where there were air compressors to compress air to run the foghorn, which sticks out through the top of the roof on the point end side of it, opposite to where we are now. There's a doorway into the tower, and the tower's got a spiral staircase that goes all the way up to the top where the light is. The room at the top where the light is called the lantern, and there's a column in the middle of the spiral staircase is hollow. And the reason it's hollow is that originally the light rotates. As it rotates around up there, there are three red flash panels. And so what happens is the light turns, and when the red panel comes between you and the source of the light in there, you see a red flash.
Yes.
And so it turned once a minute. And the mechanism that turned it was clockwork when it was originally put in 1913. And the weights for the clockwork went down the center of the column. And so the keeper would have to wind the weights up the column and fill up the kerosene into the lantern in there and clean the inside of the lens every several times a shift. So it's up running up and down and
winding that up.
Yep. There's two families. The duplex here was, this is the assistant keeper's side, and the other side, 103, is the keeper's side. Oh. There were two whole families here, but two light keepers. It's a lot of work to run a lighthouse back before electricity.
Literally keeping watch overnight.
And originally that lighthouse was in the middle of this point. But as you look out there, you can see the breakwater is almost on top of the lighthouse. It's only 10, 15 feet from the lighthouse. And if you look further south, you can see there's a lot of land out there. That lighthouse was originally in the middle of the point. And what's happening is the ocean is gradually I think it's called accretion, is just moving the sand around the point, moving it from the north and moving it south. And so the lighthouse is, eventually at some point, it'll probably have to be moved.
There's some damage to the breakwater at the very end of the point there, and we'll probably have to address that sooner than we will the rest of it. You can see the rest of it is pretty solid.
So our listeners might be thinking, it's at Fort Worden and the U.S. Lighthouse Society and the Coast Guard. So help us understand the connections between those three entities.
Well, actually, the lighthouse is located on Coast Guard property. We're just adjacent to the fort, but we do work with the fort in terms of, helping to send visitors over here to us.
Yes.
But they're not responsible at all for any maintenance or anything. The U.S. Lighthouse Society obtained a lease in 2019 from the Coast Guard, and our purpose is to open it up to the public so they can come in and see it, and to restore it, because the Coast Guard does not have the funding to maintain the property anymore. And if it weren't for the U.S. Lighthouse Society coming in here in 2019, this property would continue to deteriorate. If you look at the keeper's house, it's not in the best of condition on the exterior. And the lighthouse itself is not in the best condition. It needs to be painted on the outside, for example. And the roofs were leaking. We've replaced the roofs on the keeper's house already.
How long have you been working on this? I saw your website was very robust. You've done a lot so far.
Well, the U.S. Lighthouse Society signed the lease in 2019. So we've been working here for, about 3 years
you
now.
You jumped right in, huh?
Yeah, we jumped right in. And it was estimated originally it was going to cost about $1 million to restore all the things that need to be done here at the lighthouse, because it's a historic property, and you can't just go in and willy-nilly tear out the shingles and put in what you want. You can't just paint this, paint that. It has to meet historic preservation standards. So there's a lot of work that has to be done to make sure we're doing it properly.
Is that somewhat your role too? I mean, you're doing some accountability for the architectural consistency you respond to. Who has oversight of that?
Well, we have one gentleman, his name is Chad Kaiser. He's also operates the New Dungeness Lighthouse in Sequim, and he's an expert in lighthouse preservation. So he's the one that's involved in a lot of the restoration project in terms of how it should be done and when it should be done. And then Jeff Gales is the executive director of the Lighthouse Society, which is located in Hansville. And he's the one who's primarily responsible for raising funding to do this project. He's raised quite a bit of money from the state legislature, for example.
Mm-hmm. And so you have had partners through the resources of the Lighthouse Society, but in terms of the funding, is there a grant or any allocated funding from the state currently to help subsidize the work that you've been doing?
Well, we had a grant which has been used now to put a new roof on this keeper's house, and then I think they've got a grant which they're going to use this summer when the weather warms up to put a new roof on the chief's house.
Oh my! Dave, did you get to work on some of the restoration?
Oh, of course. I occasionally Chad will let me give him a hand with this or that, and so one of the things that we did last year, after we got the roof on this original building, was we made sure that it was fit for habitation. It hadn't been used for a long time, and so we cleaned it all up and we repainted it all inside.
That's beautiful.
And we found the furniture for it. Basically cleaned it all up and made it ready for rental. So we were renting it out for vacation rentals here, this half of the duplex. And I got to work a lot on getting that going with a lot of other volunteers, and it was really good. It's an important piece, first of all, because it's a really cool place to have a vacation.
It's a gorgeous
it's
property.
It's a pretty nice, pretty nice inside now, really well equipped and everything.
Did you say you had the original plans available to you as well?
Yes, Chad, our project manager, Chad Kaiser, he's got the original plans for this house, and he's got the original plans for the lighthouse as well. So as we do our work, Chad is making sure that we have a period appropriate kinds of restorations. And so, for example, we're very careful about the color of the roofs and the color of the outside and the inside and all that. The doors The front doors here were just replaced last season, and with specially made doors that match the doors that were in the original plans. We're taking our time about it. This is not going to be a quick restoration.
I'm curious, did you run across any unexpected things?
Yes, a funny thing that happened was I was working on some of the locks that are in between the doors. There are these old antique locks that are there, and the one that goes into the pantry here in 105 side was not working at all. So I took it apart, took it home, cleaned it all up, put it all back together, brought it out here and reinstalled it and stuck the key in there to operate it, fully expecting it to work perfectly. And when I put the key in, it wouldn't go into the lock at all. It was very strange. So I said, that's very strange. And I took it all apart again, got it off the door, and I looked in there. And wouldn't you know, there's a little bitty tinker toy that some child who lived here years ago stuffed into the keyhole just to, pretending it was a key or something. And so little fingers had been in there and had jammed up the works.
That little monkey.
Yeah.
Well, if you're just joining us, this is Missy Nielsen with Everybody Can, and we are talking to the folks from the U.S. Lighthouse Society who are working on the Point Wilson Light Station Preservation Project. Dave Anabeski and Dick Richardson are some of the key stakeholders in the volunteer organization. I'm so glad we're sitting in the Lightkeeper's home today. Dick, I was curious, can you answer a question? I was running across a lot of information, and this place has been referred to differently in different terms. The sign just says light, and I've heard it called a lighthouse. I've heard it called a light station and a light tower. Is there a distinguishing characteristic? Is it because of technology or just someone's choice of words?
Basically, it's the same terminology. The light station primarily refers to a lighthouse and the buildings that are on the property. Mm-hmm. So this is a light station, mm-hmm. But you can also just refer to it as a lighthouse.
Yes. That was 1879 in this location, correct?
It was right here, yeah. The sign out there in front by the gate, that actually shows what it looked like in 1879.
That's fascinating. Well, I was doing a little research, and I'm going to ask you, do you happen to know the salary of the first lighthouse keeper?
No, I don't, but it was probably 1879. I'm guessing it was around maybe $600 a year.
Well done, $800 a year.
Yeah,
$800 a year, and it was Mr. Littlefield.
Yes, it was Mr.
Littlefield. Yeah, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Now, another piece of trivia. There was an instrumental piece of noisemaking that was donated in the city of Port Townsend in lieu of a lighthouse by a captain. Ring a bell?
Yeah, there was a bell in town, I think, yeah.
The Episcopalian Church was a recipient of a bell by a captain who said, okay, I'm giving you this bell. You must ring it whenever it's foggy. I don't know which one of you could speak to it, Dave or Dick. At the top of the lighthouse is this lens, and you know, you've mentioned a couple of times walking to the top. Of course, that's always the best part of going to a lighthouse. But is this lens a particularly unusual lens? I think it's called the Fresnel?
Called the Fresnel lens. This one was made in Paris, France, as a lot of the older lenses were, and came here by ship, all taken apart. It's a big thing. It's a fourth order Fresnel lens. It's the order says how big they are. The first orders are really huge. You can walk around inside of them, and higher numbers get smaller. But anyway, it's a big piece of glass and brass, and it's the original one that was put up in the tower when the tower was made there. It hasn't been out of the tower since it was put up there in 1913, as far as we know. And it's gone through a whole series of different lights inside, of course, because back in 1913 it had to be powered by kerosene kind of lamps, and there were actually several different kinds of kerosene lamp that were used in it as the technology improved. And then about 1930, the electricity came to Point Wilson, and suddenly the keeper's job got a whole lot easier. You don't get not carrying cans of kerosene up there, and you don't have to wind the mechanism that turns the light and all of that sort of stuff. But the lens is still up there, and it's a beautiful piece of historical stuff, and it's very valuable, and we're particularly protective of the lens, as anybody who has visited here will find out if they can't imagine it already. It's unusual to find a lighthouse with the original lens in it. Most of the lighthouses don't have their original. There are other ones, of course, but this one we're very happy. Of course, it belongs to the Coast Guard, and it's beautiful, and if you come to the lighthouse to take a tour, you'll get to see it, and you'll see why it is that we're so protective of it.
But you still are in need of volunteers. We should talk a little bit about how that might work for someone who's listening to this, and walk them through the process of getting involved with your organization.
Well, if someone wants to be a volunteer for the organization, they should go to our website, www.pointwilsonlighthouse.org, and they can just click the volunteer tab there and then sign up to be a volunteer.
And there seems to be a couple of categories that you're needing some help with. And so let's talk about some of the main areas that one could find an opportunity to connect with this lovely place.
Well, there's several opportunities. There's one called Lighthouse Tours, and that's the people that we really need. We call them docents or lighthouse tour guides. Mm-hmm. These are the people that we need to work at the lighthouse on the weekend to give tours to people.
Okay.
There's other people to volunteer to do restoration and maintenance or grounds work. Because, as Dave mentioned, that is such a slow, ongoing process, we don't need a lot of volunteers in that area yet.
For the restoration side?
Yeah, for the restoration side. We mm-hmm. have some volunteers, but it's such a slow process that we probably will recruit people as we need them. And a lot of the work for restoration has to be done professionally.
Right.
Like a lot of the paint here is probably lead-based paint. We're not authorized to remove lead-based paint, for example. That has to be done by a qualified contractor.
So as you imagine a tour here and a volunteer is considering this opportunity, is it full-day shift? I heard you say weekends, but someone might spend, a 30-minute tour here? Of course, the docent would be here all day, or what would a shift look like for a docent?
Well, the lighthouse is going to be open on Saturdays and Sundays mm-hmm. from May through September, and it's open from 11 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. And we need 4 or 5 docents at each shift, each day that it's open. But it's open to the public, and the public can come in, and most of the people come in from Fort Warden, and they just come into the lighthouse. It's only the lighthouse that they can tour. The keeper's house is not open to the public, just the lighthouse. And they can come in on their own whenever they want between 11 and 4, and we just tell them, the docents just tell them about the lighthouse if they want to learn about it, and they have the opportunity to climb the tower and see the original lens that's up there. So they might spend 15, 20 minutes here.
So more of a self-guided tour, but with a docent on hand to answer questions and help with any kinds of needs in that way. Wow, that sounds like a really fun role. This has been fabulous doing this interview here. It's just dreamy. I wish our listeners could see outside this window. Thank you for having us in.
Thank you very much for having us.
Yep, thank you. And come visit us.
This is Missy Nielsen, host of Everybody Can. I thank you for taking the time to listen to our program today. It is our hope that in sharing these stories, we've uplifted and encouraged you to navigate your own path to connecting with like-minded folks, explore a new skill set, or simply bring light and still waters to others. I couldn't do this program without the masterful assistance of our production coordinator and sound engineer, Nora Petrich. Today's special shout out goes to wonderful woodland nymphs who've been clearing out the restoring the native vegetation at Sather Park. Well done, and thank you for the lovely trails.